Thank you for taking the time to listen to this recording. My name is Andrew Deville, and it's my privilege to give a message in the Gospel on behalf of the believers who meet in the Innerleben Gospel Hall. Now, before we turn to the Word of God, the Bible, we're going to have a short word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to read the Scriptures and to consider our Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, whom Thou hast provided. And we pray that as we turn to the Word of God, that Thy Word might be a blessing to us. We pray that it might encourage those who are Thine, those who are believers already. And we pray that if there are any who will listen to this recording, we pray that these words might be might make them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. And so we look to Thee for Thy help as we consider the Word of God together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to turn, please, to the Gospel by John and chapter 5. And we're going to read just two verses. These are well-known Gospel texts. If you don't have a Bible, please don't worry. We'll read them clearly and we'll be referring to what the Lord Jesus said. So we're going to read in John chapter 5 and at verse 24, and we're going to read verses 24 and 25. The Lord Jesus says, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And we are confident that God will indeed bless the reading of his precious word. When the Lord Jesus speaks, and when he spoke to men and women on earth, his words were weighty. He never spoke in a frivolous way. He never spoke in a light way. When men heard him speak and teach, they were struck by the authority of his words. And this is equally the case as we come to these two verses that we have read together. If we just think of verse 24 for a moment, the Lord Jesus speaks about weighty matters, matters of importance to every man and woman and boy and girl. He speaks about his personal authority. He speaks about his word. He speaks about the importance of believing God, faith in God. He speaks about the possession of everlasting life. He speaks about avoiding judgment, shall not come into condemnation. He speaks about passing from death to life. These are weighty matters. These are important issues that every soul must take account of. In order to stress for us the importance of what he is going to say, he prefaces his words with the words, "verily, verily." We'll find that scattered throughout the Gospel by John. The word "verily, verily" simply could be understood as "truly, truly." It corresponds to how we would conclude a prayer, "Amen." When we say "Amen," we are assenting to what has been expressed in that prayer. We add our amen. We're agreeing with it. We're assenting to it. But when a divine person uses that word, it carries additional force. It has the sense of "it is" and "shall be." And it alerts us to the importance of what he is about to say. These are words of gravity. These are words that we should take account of. These are words that ultimately we need to believe. The first thing he does is he says, I say to you. Now, there's a number of thoughts that we want to consider in that simple statement. We want to ask ourselves, first of all, who is the I? I say to you. Well, of course, you might say, well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He is the person who is speaking, and that is true. But as you read through the Gospel by John, you will come to understand the greatness and the dignity of who this Jesus is. From chapter 1, we learn that he is the very creator of all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We learn that he is the very source of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We learn that he is the true light. We learn that he is the revealer of God the Father. We learn that he is the only begotten Son of God. We learn that he is the Lamb of God that by his death at Calvary will bore away the sin of the world. This is the I who is speaking to us in this verse. In this very chapter, we discover that he is one who is equal with God. And so these words come to us with weight. These words come to us with authority, divine authority. And the point I want to make is that these are words that we need to take account of and need to take seriously. But he says, I say to you. That's a very personal message. And whilst if it can be read by any man in any generation, this is a word for each one of us. The Son of God, the very creator of all things, says, I say to you. And that's what we need to be able to consider this evening, that God speaks to each of us as individuals. And he wants us to understand how we can have everlasting life. He wants us to appreciate how we can escape the judgment that our sins justly deserve. He wants us to pass from death to life. This is a message that is to you. Not simply to your neighbour. And not simply to the world, whilst that is true. It is a message to you. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now, the word of God is proclaimed publicly. In principle, millions can access the word of God. When the Lord Jesus was here, multitudes listened to what he said. Sadly, multitudes didn't always believe what he said, but they heard. But you'll observe in this verse that the Lord Jesus focuses on the response of an individual. He that heareth, we could say she that heareth, the individual that hears. And so what we are learning is that whilst God's interest is universal, for God so loved the world, God looks upon men without distinction, without even national distinction. When it comes to the question of salvation, he also is interested in individual souls, in me and in you, not as a statistic, but as a real person, a person who matters to him, a person whose soul will never cease to be. And the Lord Jesus said, he that heareth. Now that is not simply that the words enter into your ears. It is that you give attention to it, and I give attention to it. He that heareth. The Lord Jesus could say on other occasions, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of the Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, that statement is modified. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And my challenge to each who are listening to this message is this. Will we hear his voice? Will we hear his word? What is my attitude to the claims of the Lord Jesus? What is my attitude to his word? In Hebrews chapter 3, there is a warning given by the Holy Spirit, no less. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What that means is just this. When you hear the word of God, don't put up the barrier. Don't put up the resistance. Don't allow the heckles to rise in your heart and mind. Harden not your heart. Don't resist the claims of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus speaks about an individual who hears his word. Now, it's important for us to understand what the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. He's not speaking about a word like the, and, so. He's speaking about the message he brings. We often use that terminology. It's the terminology that is used particularly in the Old Testament scriptures. For example, the word of the Lord came unto a particular prophet. It was the message that that prophet was then to deliver to the people. He that heareth my word, it may just be a short message, it might just be a sentence, it might be a much fuller discourse, but he that hears it must hear it with the hearing of faith, and it's my word. As you move through the Gospels in particular, you discover that the words of the Lord Jesus are powerful words. It was by his word that he spoke the universe into being. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the psalmist says, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. It's by his word, we learn in Hebrews chapter 1, that he upholds all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. It's by his word that God exercises his power. We think of the word spoken to the man at the beginning of this chapter. The Lord Jesus simply said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And that man was healed. It was by the word of this very same person, the Lord Jesus, that Lazarus came out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. Speaking is the means by which divine persons exercise their power. The Lord Jesus says, he that heareth my word. And my question to each of us is this. How are we hearing? Do we have an ear? Are we attentive? Are we interested in what the Lord Jesus has to say? He brings to us words of life. At the end of John chapter 6, he asks his disciples a question. Will ye also go away? And they reply, Peter replies, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He speaks about life and shows us how we can get it by faith in him. But now we're thinking of the individual, he that heareth my word. But when God speaks, God expects that we will believe him. And that's what comes next in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me. So in this particular verse, we are intended to believe the Father who sent the Son. Why did the Father send the Son? Well, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world, we learn in John's first letter. But here, faith is exercised in believing God the Father. We're also to believe in the Son. In John chapter 1, we learn that as many as receive him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. We have to believe who he is, that he is the Son of God. He is God the Creator, the Eternal Word. We need to believe in him. We need to believe in his name. But we also need to believe God. And that is the crux of the matter when it comes to the gospel. Will we believe God? That was how Abraham was justified. We learn that in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When that incident took place in Abraham's life, we can read it in the book of Genesis, God showed him the stars. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God. Humanly speaking, it seems that the promise of God was extraordinary. And humanly speaking, it looked as if there was no way it could ever be fulfilled. But Abraham recognized the God that was speaking to him. It was the God of glory that was speaking to him. And Abraham believed God. Do you believe God? Why should we believe God? We should believe God because God is true. God is reliable. And this is the heart of man's response to the gospel. You might wonder why the Bible makes such a big deal about faith. And the answer to that question is found way back in the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, they were given one prohibition. And they were told that in the day that they would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would be a dreadful day in their experience. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The serpent came into that garden and tempted them and deceived Eve. And the serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. On the one hand, you have God saying, you'll die. And the serpent says, no, you'll not. And the question is this, who are you going to believe? Who is Adam and Eve going to believe? Who is Eve to believe? And the tragedy of Genesis chapter 3, which is still with us today, is that Eve believed the serpent. But Adam and Eve discovered that what God said was true. And God brings us back to that choice. He that hears my word and believes him that sent me. And so the question is this, am I prepared to believe God? Am I prepared to believe that what God says about me is true? That in his sight he finds me to be a sinner, and we're condemned. Do I believe him about his son? Do I believe him about the provision his son has made by his death and resurrection? Do I believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead? Am I prepared to believe God? Now you can understand, and you know what it's like. If you find somebody who doesn't believe you, you take it personally. Because there is an attack on your integrity. There is implied that you are not trustworthy. How much more when we think about the God of heaven? The Lord Jesus says, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me. Can I urge you today to believe God and believe in Christ? Have confidence that the God who speaks in the Bible is a God that can be depended on and relied upon. A God that cannot lie. A God who remains the same. Now there are very searching aspects to that. God's holiness remains the same. God's character remains the same. God's word remains the same. When God makes a promise, he doesn't change his mind. And God has the power to fulfill his promise. And the Lord Jesus says here, he that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me, well, they have everlasting life. Now you might question that. You say, well, what is this everlasting life? Can life be everlasting? Well, in the Gospel by John, the Lord Jesus speaks of everlasting life, and often side by side it's termed eternal life. Eternal life is the very life of God. And the life that the Lord Jesus offers is a life that brings us into a relationship with God. That's what God is after, a relationship with us. And so in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus puts it like this. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And here the Lord Jesus says, those that hear me and believe in the Father, and believe in me, of course, they have everlasting life. A life that is everlasting. What is this life? It's a life of relationship with divine persons. It's a life in the family of God. It's a life of being a child of God and a son of God. It's a life that death will not end. If we were able to look into heaven and able to see the souls of believers, what are they experiencing? They're experiencing everlasting life. They received it by faith as a free gift on earth. And though the body might be separated from the soul and spirit, that life goes on. That relationship with God goes on. There are many things that are brought to an end by death, but everlasting life is not one of them. And that relationship that was established on earth when souls came to faith in Christ, repenting of their sin and believing in the Lord Jesus, accepting that his death at Calvary was sufficient for them to pay the price for their sins, that he was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. When we come into the good of that, we receive a gift. Paul puts it like this, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this life is everlasting. And says the Lord Jesus, those that hear my word, and those that believe, they have that life already. My dear friend, what kind of life do you have? Well, I know that we are experiencing restrictions. Many experience restrictions anyway. But you can be the possessor, even now, of everlasting life. The Lord Jesus also gives us a promise. For those that hear his word, and for those that believe the Father, those that have become possessors of everlasting life, there is something that they will not face. He says, shall not come into judgment. Now the Lord Jesus has spoken about judgment in this passage already. He's informed us that the Father judgeth no man, verse 22. But has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honour the Son even as they honour the Father. We learn here that the Son of God, the sinner's Saviour, is also the appointed judge. There is another reason why he is being given this role. Not only that men should honour him as they honour the Father, but we learn too in verse 27, that the Father has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. That title, the Son of Man, involves a great many things. It includes the fact that he is going to reign over men. It's his title that links the Lord Jesus with man. It involved him ultimately becoming a man. And men will be judged by a man. They will not be able to say to him, "You don't know what it was like to be a man on earth." He knows full well what it was like to be a man on earth. And men will be judged by a man. He's also God. He's the Son of God. And he will execute universal judgment and universal government. But he seeks how that judgment can be avoided by an individual. And he says, "Those that hear my word, those that believe the Father, those that have therefore come into the possession of everlasting life, they shall not come into judgment." You say, how can that be? And the answer to that question takes us beyond the immediate context, but it takes us to understand that this is the result of his death at Calvary. He bore the judgment that individuals who repent and believe might escape. When Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, he speaks with this assurance: "There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus." The Christian is in a new position. We are viewed as being in Christ, united to Christ. And Christ bore the judgment on the cross, but he is beyond that now. And the believer in Christ is beyond the judgment of God. And here is an assurance from the very Son of God, the very one who cannot lie, and he says to you, and he says to me, "Shall not come into judgment." Are you prepared to believe that? And finally, in this beautiful text, the Lord Jesus makes a statement about what has happened when that soul, that individual, that he or the she heard his word and believed the Father and possessed and became into the possession of everlasting life. What happened? They passed from death unto life. Now you might say that's a strange way to speak, because after all men die. The death the Lord Jesus is speaking about, we might call it a spiritual death. Death, in essence, is separation. When a person dies, their soul and spirit are separated from their body. Life departs. When God spoke to Adam and Eve at the beginning, God says, "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, they didn't die physically at that point. But the first thing that happened was a separation came in between themselves and God. And Adam and Eve instinctively recognized that. They hid themselves from God amongst the trees of the garden. And God put them out of the garden, and there was a distance introduced. And we are born into this world at a distance from God. But that distance can be bridged. And we can be brought near to God. We can be reconciled in the great doctrine of the Epistle to the Romans and the Epistle to the Colossians. We can be reconciled to God. And we can be brought out of a place of spiritual separation from God, a place of death, into life. God wants to give us life and for us to enjoy life with him. When the gospel deals with two great matters. The gospel deals, or salvation deals with, our condition before God. When Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 3, he says, "Now, we're all guilty before God, but we can be justified. We can be declared right. And as those who have been justified and reconciled, we know what it is to have the assurance that we shall not come into judgment." But there is another problem, and that is the problem of the fact that we are in a state of spiritual death. We are dead in trespasses and in sins, as Paul puts it in Romans, in Ephesians 2. And God wants to give us life. A life in relationship with Him. Abundant life is how the Bible describes it. And the Lord Jesus speaks about that experience. Let me conclude this short message and meditation by reading again the verses that we read at the start. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In closing, I would like to underline in your mind the certainty of the claims of the Lord Jesus. You notice the Lord Jesus does not speak with ifs and buts, maybes, possiblys, but he speaks with certainty. And in this period of uncertainty in our country and across the world, it's good to turn to someone who can speak with authority, divine authority, and speak with certainty and assurance. He says, hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, is passed from death unto life. And the person with the authority of God, God Himself, speaks to us with that certainty. He says, verily, verily, I say to you. I wonder this evening, whenever you're listening to this recording, as you listen to words of certainty like this, I wonder how you respond to them. The Lord Jesus wants us to hear him. And he wants us to believe in him. And have the assurance of everlasting life. And have the assurance that we shall not come into judgment. And have the assurance that we have passed from death unto life. You say, how will I know? How will I know? You see, that's where faith comes in. God expects you to believe him. God expects you to take him at his word. We haven't had the opportunity to consider the verse following. It's a beautiful verse too. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. The Lord Jesus is referring to this hour, this period in the world's history where the gospel is going forth. It is the comment of the Holy Spirit, and now is. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Will you be one who will hear through this occasion, through this recording, the voice of the Son of God, and in hearing live? May God bless you with his salvation, and may you hear the voice of the Son of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank thee again for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that when men heard him speak, they could say, never man spake like this man. We remember that when men heard him speak in the synagogue, they were amazed at the authority of his words. And we remember too that they were amazed at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. We pray that each person who hears this will hear with the hearing of faith. Take due care over the words of thy Son, and believe in him, and believe thee. We remember those words of Abraham, concerning Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Bless thy word, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.